Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Let's stay standing. It's a real honour to have you here today, Eric. And it's always a real privilege to spend time with Eric, but also, you know, when he brings the word. And so we want to honour the word. We want to honour Eric. And I want us to be really responsive during the word, because your response determines what happens in your life. And so let's welcome Eric as he comes to bring the word this morning.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look to Jesus. Jesus, we love you so much. We love you so much, Lord. We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for you. We love you. We really love you. And it's just wonderful to tell you we love you. Because every day you're telling us that you love us. Wow. Lord, bless these people here, these wonderful people. Wonderful people of God. Father, I'm asking that you would help me by the power of your Holy Spirit to lift them today, to uncork something. By the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name, bless your people today. Open their ears, open their eyes. And I rebuke the spirit of infirmity and sickness. You foul spirit. I bind you. Let go of God's people. We release the healing virtue of God. Healing in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be delivered. Be happy. Be well. And act like the children of God. In Jesus' name. Father, we believe right now that this is your place, and we're with you. Hallelujah! Ha-ha! Yeah! Praise God. Go like this a little bit. Woo! That's good to do. Amen. You may have a seat. Praise God. Just don't mold to it. Don't get molded there, you know. Well, Jesus is alive, and, you know, it's a real privilege, a real honor to be here, Pastor, with you and Mom Urquhart and Pastor Clive. And it's a real honor to be able to be with you. And I'm not just saying that. I just really love it. And I didn't come here to preach here today. It was a special, wonderful gift that was been given me. I came here to preach to 20,000 people in London. That's why I was sent here. And I'm so glad, because in the last Friday and Saturday, I don't know if you noticed, but the weather changed. And I was able to do what the Lord assigned me to do, and to put tracts into the hands of 20,000 people. And part of the mandate was foreign nations will be there to take the gospel back to their nations. And everybody on my team said, I've never seen so many foreigners in London. And I haven't either. And I've been in London quite a lot. I know London pretty well. And I've trodden upon those streets quite a lot. And I never seen so many foreigners. And so it was just a wonderful time. And the team that we had, the teams, they were just amazing. I mean, they were great. They were really great. But, you know, to see people begin to tear up and cry and to take the tracts, to see people frozen until they get a tract. I mean, the Holy Ghost, I was telling the team, you've really got to think about what you saw today. A lot of times we look for something big to call it a miracle. But maybe a lot of times there's a lot of miraculous things in our lives on a daily basis. And it's very important that we stay thankful, 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 thankful. And that keeps the door open for those things to keep happening. And, you know, it was just a really, really wonderful, wonderful time. And we preached the gospel. It was a great blessing to see. You know, I love to preach the gospel, but man, the fire in these young students. And Oh, and I had a lady, she said, Pastor Eric, Brother Eric, can I, may I preach the gospel? I said, well, I'd love that. I mean, I think that's wonderful. And so she got out there and she was real nervous. Is she here today? I can't even remember her name, but it was Friday. And she got out there and she gave it a go. And it was just wonderful. And then more people wanted to do it, and then more people. And I thought, wow, there really is something inside of people. And I think when you get out there and you look at all the lost people and you begin to realize, how do we reach them? How do we grab hold of this harvest? You know, they pedestrianized London yesterday, Regent Street, part of Piccadilly, Oxford Street. It was all pedestrian. Not only pedestrian, but it was chockered with people. Now, those are big streets, and when you fill them with people, it's full. It's a lot of people, and you really felt like you were in a river of humanity. And but you know, I tell you, it was just a tremendous time, and you know, I've always thought, you know, I don't know when the last London crosswalk will be, and maybe this is it, but I thought after yesterday, I'm coming back. So, and maybe some of you will be able to join us. And but from now on, it's time to raise up the preachers, and that's kind of a mandate that's starting to bubble up in me. It's time to start to get people learn to get that voice out there, and you know that's part of the DNA of your nation. You know, if you got blonde hair, you got blonde hair. That's your DNA. You can go and paint it all you want. As soon as the paint wears off, the DNA is going to bloom. You got blonde hair. Amen? You can change the styles of your clothes. You can change the styles of this, that, and the other. But DNA is DNA. In Britain, you were made to preach the gospel. Thank you. It's in your DNA. This nation left a mark on the world because of radical people, Quakers quaking, and then saying after they quaked and everybody thinks they're nuts, going out and helping people that needed help. You don't put the cart before the horse. They didn't go out and do social works first. They did quaking first. Salvation Army banging the drums, blowing the trumpets. And let me tell you, half the people will hate you, but the other half, you'll leave a trail of salvation. You know, there's something in British people that wants something that's real. They want something that's bold. They want something they can get their hands on. They've been pushed down, told to conform. And I really believe that in this time, there is a fire of God coming back on Britain to raise up preachers who will preach the gospel and see God move. Thank you. That's the DNA. Don't tell me that street ministry doesn't work. There's something we're cutting away at. Don't tell me it doesn't work while we're cutting away at something. You were a baby. You were in a sack. You were in your mother's belly, but you didn't quit. You fought to get out. Bless God, now look at you. You done grown some. You're glad you're out, aren't you? Hello? Some of you are not sure. It was rather nice in there. Swimming in the water. Dark. You have to forgive me. I've been preaching to thousands of people. So I get in here and I still got a little bit of preach on me. Got that smoke still on me. Some of you going, where did I come this morning? But it's true. Well, you know, Who are you to tell us about Britain? I'm probably not. You're right. But I have walked hundreds and hundreds of miles and been with multiplied millions and millions of British people, planting multiplied hundreds of thousands of tracks into this nation and walking with the cross in crowds of multiplied millions of people. So maybe I might have just something to say. Maybe not. You know, when I first was married, my wife and I, on Sunday, we'd get up with, she had one of these clock radios. She had it on the Christian station. And, see, I came from the farm. I got up with the rooster, but she had one of these electronic things. And so every morning we'd get up, and there would be some guy preaching. I don't know who it is, but we'd get up laughing because he would make a real serious point. Then he'd say, "But after all, what in the world do I know anyways?" And so he'd always negate himself. I'm thinking, so we'd get up laughing. So maybe what in the world do I know anyways, you know. It's wonderful to be here. Hey, my wife and children, they are doing really well. And my kids are in school. And they're A students. And doing very good. And Beth is doing very good. Victoria is just growing and doing really well. And had a checkup with her pastor. And the doctor said she just looks good. And we told the doctor how much she likes to eat steak, and he said, "That's really a miracle for kids that have, you know, gone through." So, but you know, thank you. I know some of you, we're in your thoughts and prayers, and we're so thankful for that. And it's finally nice to see my wife with a suntan. Latvia, you don't get much suntan. England, too. But you know what I'm so happy about, and then I'm going to preach you the word here, is that, you know, we left America to go on missions. We went to a nation where we didn't know really what end was up at the time, but we were following God, and we knew it. And then we moved to Latvia. So after about 11 years of living in a foreign soil, then God brought us back as a strong family, back to our nation, of the culture and the people that we came from. And so we completed a circle, and we completed it with strength. And we had a lot of opportunities to quit, to be broken, to whatever. But you know, if you don't quit. There's always opportunity to quit, but if you quit, you have to get back in line. And usually the line's gotten longer. If you quit and get out of line, you can get back into line. God is merciful, but you might be way back there, and you don't realize how much progress you've made. Don't quit. Stick it through. Work it out. If you work it out, pay the price, cry now, you're going to have tears of rejoicing coming. It will happen. But you pay the price and do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. It's okay to smile. Yeah. Hallelujah. Do you have your Bibles? Wow. Worship, blue cards, welcome. Eric preach. There we go. I want you to turn in your Bible real quick to Romans. We're going to read the Bible this morning. I just love the Bible. Romans chapter 10. I'll speak slow because I know my accent is a little tricky for you. I loved hearing the Irish guy yesterday preaching on the streets. The Irish accent. Ooh, I felt revival in the air. It says in Romans chapter 10, and let's begin with 13. It says, whosoever. Now, whosoever, that's pretty big. Okay? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that is God's covenant with mankind. That's a contract between God and whosoever. Red, yellow, black, or white, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's turn to Ephesians real quick. But keep a pinky in that spot. Ephesians chapter 2. Don't quit. I'm going to say it again. If you quit, you get out of line. And then when you want to get back into line, you don't get back in the same spot. You have to go back to the back. You ever been in a line and thought, do I get out or will I get my place back? Ever thought about that? Stay in line. Amen. That was worth coming this morning. I'll preach this fabulous sermon and then you go, I don't know what I said, but I just won't quit. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace, this is good. By grace, he's the God of all grace. He's the God who gives grace. He's the God who says, I freely give you grace. It's an abundance of grace. You know what a good way to think about grace? Think about how big the sun is. And the sun is so full of fire and energy. And it's just blowing off light and energy in every direction. And then you've got the earth. How much of all of that energy and power is really touching the earth? How much? God is the same way. He is so full of love and power and mercy, and it's just blowing off into the universe. But you're the one it's for. And he wants you to have it. He wants you to access it. He's not hiding it from you. For by grace, God's ability, God's power, what? Through faith, you're saved. And then it says, and that not of yourselves. Now this is the key point right here for this little sermonette today. After the sermonette, we go to the dinette. So I tried. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we know that God is not up there predestinating. You can be saved and you cannot be saved. It's whosoever. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But what I want to talk to you today about is the amazing, wonderful work of salvation. What God has put on the inside of you. When you called upon that name, what happened? But let's read. Go back to Romans. Ooh, I'm excited and I'm getting ahead. Romans 10. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now see that really speaks to me. I mean, those people yesterday, 20,000 in 2 days, under an anointing of the Holy Spirit. The weather changed, I really believe, for us. Because when we were done, it started to rain again. I just came back from Latvia. And I called my wife. I said, do you remember how gray and yucky the weather is? I said, I'm sure glad we live in Florida now. But I said, honey, the only days I saw the sun is when I got out with the cross. Now, I don't know why that is, but thank God for it. God wants people to hear. And they can't hear without a preacher. Because God has chosen the foolishness of preaching in order to release salvation. To the world, it's foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Last night, Mark and I were there, and we're preaching, and he says, I could feel just the peace and the presence of God come down in that area. Well, we don't know what God is doing, but we're preaching. And we're speaking the word of God. Not being moved by the Spirit that's on them, but letting the Spirit of us, the Holy Ghost, come down upon the crowd. It's wonderful when you declare to them, the tomb, the grave could not hold him. But if you die without Christ, the grave will hold you. I compel you, give your life to Christ. And just begin to speak the word. Speak the word and feel it cutting, 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 and to declare the blood of Jesus Christ. But God chooses it. You've got to have a preacher. You've got to have a speaker. Wow. Verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So the word of God carries faith. In fact, the word of God is stuffed full of faith. In fact, Jesus is the word of God. And the Bible says he's the author and the finisher of your faith. The word of God and faith are inseparable. Unless it gets into the hands of maybe a religious preacher. But God's word will always work. In fact, you could hear really bad preaching and then when they read the Bible, it just really... Because God's word is God's word. But the preaching of the gospel is so important. And I really believe that time is moving on. And of necessity, there must be an increase of the preaching. I said to Mark, I said, boy, you know, if Jesus came back tonight, I said, I really feel like I've lived. Not that I'm asking that he comes back, but I do want him to come back. Yeah, I do. Something about wanting him to come back makes you more serious about what you're called to do. Not about an escape, but Jesus, you could come back anytime, and I want that. But I better also be busy. Making sure my kids are loving Jesus and teaching him how to walk by faith. And then going from them to outside. Amen? That's important. Now let's look at this. I want you to turn real quick to, and this is where the sermon actually begins. I just wanted to read those verses. Turn to Mark 11, 22. Are you ready? Now, come on, I want you to get that seatbelt off. You're afraid there's cameras in here and the local police authority were checking you to see if you got your belt on. Is it because I'm on a boat? You're kind of... They knew how much I spit when I preached, so they put me on the boat just so you could get the feel of the waves. Mark 11 and 22, it says, it's a command. Have faith in God. Jesus wasn't mincing with his words. He didn't say, oh, you know, try to believe. Jesus doesn't think that way. He thinks that he is sufficient, that when you rise up with him, hey, you can do it. So he commands you, have faith in God. You'll never hear Jesus say it another way. He really expects you to take hold of the substance of heaven and to begin to use it in your life. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He is a faith God. When you read this in the Greek, it really could say this: have God's faith. What do you mean, God's faith? Well, let's take a look at God's faith. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And verse 3. Let's take a look at God's faith. Let's take a look at what he put inside of you. Hebrews, chapter 11. I got to find it. There it is. It says this: we understand that through faith, the worlds were created or framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now the King James says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And I used to read that and I think that's pretty tricky. Is it our faith that we believe he did it that way? Or is it he's the God of faith and he was working his faith when he spoke his word? God, in the midst of nothing, with his word and with his faith, began to create everything that you see. When you came to church today, you walked or drove on a planet that was created by God's faith with his word. When you looked up at the sun, if it even came out, it's not only created by God's word with his faith, but it's in orbit by his word and with his faith. So Jesus says, have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they exalted their mind above the forces of life that are in the human heart, and they died spiritually. So man began to live out of the carnality of his mind, using his five senses in order to live. Man was lost. He was lost. But God in his mercy stepped out of eternity into time and began to work with man, because he didn't want to lose man. Well, you can see the wisdom of it, can't you? You came in here today and you began to say, I love you. You see, God heard that cry from the beginning of time. He wasn't going to throw man away. With all the evil that you see out there, look at you. You're the prize of his faith. I just kind of wonder. You know, I really love it when I hear my kids say, you know, I love you, Dad. Oh, I know you just broke your mom's very precious piece of china. But if you keep saying to me you love me, Dad, you know, don't worry about it. So it's covered. What is it? You understand the plan of God. In the earth, There are people today all over the planet who are raising their hands and saying, I love you. The fragrance that fills heaven with the plan of God coming to pass. How did he do it? By faith through his word. So he says in Mark chapter 11, let's continue. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You feel so good, Lord. I love your presence. I'm so thankful. It says this, for verily I say to you, that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's key. You gotta underline that one. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, honey, that's the God kind of faith. Because he stood out into the midst of nothing and with his faith spoke his word and began to create. Jesus says to the disciples, you are made in my image. You have the capacity in your spirit to begin to take hold of God's word, to produce a new picture in you, and to begin to speak into the nothing with God's word and with your faith to create something. Have the faith of God. It's took half of you awake, half of you sleeping, or are you just really thinking? I'm not sure. Stop thinking about yesterday, okay? It's over. It's under the blood. Turn to Romans chapter 12. And let's look at verse 3. For verily I say, by the grace given to me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now listen, according as God hath given to every man the measure of faith. Listen to me, every eyeball right here. God created by his word and by his faith the universes and put them into order. And when you heard the gospel preached, he released a measure of faith to you. The measure of faith that has within it everything that you need in order to walk in through life and have godliness in your life. You have that substance in a measure inside of you. It is the same faith that God used to create the universes. It is in you. Jesus said, have the God kind of faith. It's a substance of things hoped for. It is an evidence of things that are not seen. And it's in you. The measure that you need. You're not left without. When you stand before God, he's not going to go, well, I know life was hard. Wow, you know, there are certain things that we just didn't account for. When you heard the gospel preached, and maybe your friend was beside you, and you both replied, you got a measure that you needed, and they got a measure that they needed, And the measure that you both received was the measure God needed to kick something off in you. That's why you can be on the street and some guy say, I'm an atheist. Yeah, that's right, because you don't understand this heavenly substance. You are living in this realm. But I've received something that went into operation from God Himself to create the universes, and I have that faith in me that believes God. I don't see Him, but I love Him, and I rejoice with joy exceeding. That's because of that faith. It put universes into operation. You are not a worm. You are the righteousness of God. You are the child of Almighty. And He's equipped you with His word. We're blowing the dust off of you this morning. Praise God. I'm a Hoover in reverse. I've never said that before. Turn to the book of Luke. Is it time to go? I gotta get this off. I'm getting a little too hot. Hecklers never bother me. Hey, cheers, mate. Turn to Luke chapter 17. You know, I just want more. You know, God gives you a measure, but you don't have to stay in that measure. You can grow. You receive the measure, but then by hearing and hearing the word, it can grow. And then getting... Everybody's leaving. I'm going to preach by that door. Oh, okay. Tell the kids I said hi. I'll finish real quick. I was in Poland recently, and some people had to leave. There were three Catholic priests, and they had to leave early. So I just went over by the door and started preaching. And they laughed. They really laughed. Shook my hand on the way out. I'll do this real quick. I don't know. Maybe I won't. Because I really think there's something here for you. Luke 17. You know, faith is a force that you have to keep alive. You have to keep it growing. And that's what keeps you holy. Because you wake up in the morning and you're saying, I've got to feed this faith in me. It's like manna. I've got to feed it and I've got to keep it moving. And you know what? The disciples had faith failures. Read the New Testament. Didn't they? Jesus said, where is your faith? Or, if you had faith, he said things like that. Or he rebuked them. You got a hard heart. And your faith's not going to work like that. So when you realize a desire to walk in faith, this is called kingdom faith. Not earthly faith. It's kingdom faith. Different. Then that's part of your sanctification. It keeps you wanting to live right. And when you get the taste of faith, it's a little bit addicting. And then love. And this is what I've learned before I go here, is that, yeah, sometimes you can have a faith failure. It's not because God, it wasn't God's will. I think a lot of times we put things on God that aren't scriptural because we get into our soulish arena. Maybe we're hurting. Welcome to the planet. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Eve. I don't think you understand this planet. There are things on this planet that are big, but God gives you the measure so that all things can always work out to together for the good of you. And then when you cross into heaven, everything is going to be not only just right, it's going to be wonderful. But he said very clearly, all things are possible to those who believe. He doesn't put the limits. He says, come on, reach. Reach further. Reach further. Reach further. But sometimes there are faith failures. But as long, now listen, the Bible never gives you opportunity for a love failure. Why? Because sometimes in our midst we have a faith failure. But you know what? The Bible says love never fails. So we have to learn to cover each other in love, always. Why? Because love can do what faith cannot do. Love keeps things working together. I mean, I know your faith is just perfect, but sometimes I didn't get what I needed. I'm still in process, but you know what I needed? I needed love covering me. And God is very serious about that. This is not your church, it's his. You're not your people, you're his people. So there's no room for love failure. But while you're reaching for more faith, oh, I know. Is it too late? I'll end. 2 minutes. 5 minutes. Five. Really, five, and I'll be done. Luke 17, is that all right? I'm going home tomorrow, and I just have to get this out. Verse 5, 17, verse 5. The apostle said to him, and you can put your name in this because this is something we all feel. Increase my faith. They came to Jesus, and they saw the leper stand from afar, and Jesus simply said, go. They saw the centurion said, Lord, just speak the word in my servant. And they said, Jesus, increase my faith. So what does Jesus do? He gets out his magic wand and twirls it and bops him on the head. No, he doesn't do that. Let's read further. He says this, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say, because that's the dynamic of faith, like God, unto the sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So he tells them this is the dynamic of faith. But they're still thinking, okay, but we want an increase of faith. We kind of know this. So he goes on. Now watch what he says. He says, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding the cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field, go sit down and eat? Would he not rather say unto him, now make ready wherewith I may sup and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards you shall eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I don't think so. So likewise you, When you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we're unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, what he's saying here is this. This is how faith increases. Faith is your servant. It comes by the word of God. The word is not your servant. But the substance that word brings is your servant, and he expects us to use it so that it serves us so we can serve him. Amen. So he says, you just take a small amount of it, but if you put it into operation and begin to work it, then you will be able to speak. If it's a sycamine tree and there's a problem, you will be able to speak to it with the substance of that faith. Faith is your servant. The word is not. The word is the developer, the author, and the finisher. Now let's look at one last part, and then we're going to end. Verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, 10 men with impossible situations, 10 sycamine trees. They stood a long way away. They were not even close. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself unto the priests. It came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God, fell down at his face, giving thanks and praise. He was a Samaritan. Now listen to what Jesus says, and this sums it all up. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Jesus is teaching them about faith, and then he's walking, and 10 impossible situations come. And he simply says, this is how you do it. And he released his faith to serve him, to bring about the glory to God. And one man comes back, gives him praise. And what does Jesus do? He's like, wait a minute. I didn't release faith for one person. I released it for 10. He knew what he was releasing. He knew what he was sending out to serve him with, and thus bringing glory to God. God increased my faith. Well, he's not going to bop you on the head. He's given you a measure inside when you heard the gospel. He deposited from his throne in the eternities, and he put it into your spirit, so that you could begin to take hold of Christ, the Word of God. And that faith, the faith that created things that's in you, could begin to grow. And you could learn to begin to use it in order what? So you could serve God. So many Christians don't understand this. And they live a life of defeat. They live a life of emptiness. They don't understand the quest of faith. Your life is a quest of faith. I guess the roast is burning. I better quit. Stand up. I know the kids are here, and I think my service is now concluded. I want to pray for you. Raise your hands. You take hold of this. Because the name given is Kingdom Faith. And there's an expectancy in you, this household, to begin to work that substance that created the eternities that he has put as a measure into you, both individually and corporately, in order to bring things to pass that are not. To bring out of heaven into the visible. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I've done the best I know how to do. But Lord, your word will work. I pray that revelation will explode into the lives of these your people in the name of Jesus. That light will come into the hearts, which will bring a release
of that substance, that evidence, that corporately this house will begin to reach up into a new level, a new place to bring into the visible realm from the invisible.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.